Well, as Sarah said, welcome. Grateful that we're together on this Sunday morning. We are in the season of Easter. The season of Easter lasts 50 days. And one of the main things that we do in this season is we're called to reflect on the Easter promise and to ask the question, the historical event that we proclaimed on Easter morning, Jesus is rising from the dead, how does that change our lives today? How does that impact us? And how can we live in a way that anchors ourselves in the Easter promise about the resurrection? Now today, to help us do this, we're given a passage from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, as you may know, is one of the five books of the Torah. The Torah are the first five books of the Old Testament, commonly attributed to Moses. And Deuteronomy is the last of those books, the fifth book of the Torah. And so what you have in Deuteronomy is you have a series of sermons or speeches that Moses gives to the people of Israel right before they enter the promised land. So this is near the end of Moses' life. The people are about to enter into this new land, and Moses wants to remind them of everything he's taught them during his time with them. And our passage today came from a teaching on the Ten Commandments, and specifically we're given the teaching on the Sabbath. Moses wants the people to remember when they enter this new land to keep the Sabbath. And so in keeping with what I said about the Easter season, what I want to do this morning is just reflect on this command and ask the question, how does keeping the Sabbath, how does that help us root ourselves in the Easter promise? How does keeping the Sabbath help us be a people of resurrection? So to do that, let's just look at the passage. I'm going to read the passage for us. It's pretty short. I'll make some comments, and then I'll do my best answering that question. So here's what Moses says to us today and to the people of Israel. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. Now, a couple things here. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word to rest. So the Sabbath is a day of rest. Moses tells the people to keep it holy. To be holy is to be set apart. And so he's saying this day of rest, it is to be a special day for you. It is to be set apart, different from the other days of the week. As we probably know, the Jews celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday. Early in the church's year, the church moved the observance to Sunday. We'll keep reading. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. So pretty simple. You work 6 days. The Sabbath day of rest is on the seventh day. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident alien in your towns. So here Moses is basically saying there's no fudging, right? This is a day of rest for everybody, even the livestock. They will rest on this special Sabbath day. And then we get to the last part, and this is the part I really want to focus on because it explains the why to us. Moses says, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, or because of this, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So you were slaves. God redeemed you. He saved you. And because he saved you, he commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Now, a couple things to see. First thing to note is the reason for keeping the Sabbath. I think often when we think about the Sabbath, we think back to the story from Genesis. God creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And then he rests on the seventh day. And we think, well, we keep the Sabbath because we're imitating what God did in creation. And clearly, the Genesis account is informing our keeping of the Sabbath. But what we need to see is that Moses doesn't ground the Sabbath in creation, the keeping of the Sabbath. He doesn't say, keep the Sabbath because God did that in the beginning. No, rather, Moses grounds the keeping of the Sabbath in redemption. He says, God saved you. Because he saved you, you are to keep the Sabbath. He redeemed you. And of course, we know that we have been redeemed too. He's not just talking about the Israelites. He's talking about us as well. In fact, we believe that the redemption of the Israelites from Egypt was just a foreshadowing of his great redemption on the cross and in his resurrection. So we're to keep the Sabbath because we've been redeemed by God. But there's still that question, is why? Why does God say, I've redeemed you, therefore keep the Sabbath? Well, I think the reason is actually quite simple. And that is, we have a tendency to forget. We forget about our redemption. And what happens is as we forget the fact that we've been redeemed, we end up drifting back to those forces that once enslaved us. We end up drifting back to our old taskmasters, to the brickyards of Egypt. What are those taskmasters for us that we drift back to? Well, they can be all sorts of things. Often, there are those internal voices that pester us, harangue us, push us to be more than we are, that say, you know, you're really not like your older brother, or you're not who Dad wanted you to be, or you're not meeting the expectations of society. Or sometimes it's not an internal voice. Sometimes it's simply the demands of our culture. I remember talking to a mother, this was a couple years ago, in the summer, end of the summer, and she was talking about the coming week, and she said to me, you know, my next week is the week of hell. And I thought, well, what does that mean? So I said, what does it mean that it's the week of hell? And she said, well, it's the last week before school. My kids have all these activities. My daughter has to be at swim practice at 5 a.m. every morning. My middle child has two soccer practices a day. My third child has to be in this place. I'm pushed and pulled in all these different directions. I'm driving all day long. It's the week of hell. And I thought to myself, well, that doesn't sound much fun, but who put you there, right? Who signed up your kids for all these activities? And the truth is, Trisha and I, we've done the same thing. We've signed up our kids for lots of activities. But the point is, it is so easy to become enslaved by the expectations of our culture, of these demands that we put on ourselves. Timothy Keller, who many of you are familiar with, was an amazing Presbyterian minister up in Manhattan. He died a little less than a year ago from pancreatic cancer. He has a great little book called The Reason to Believe. And in the book, he makes, I think, an important point. He says in that book that to sin, when we sin, sin is not doing something wrong. Instead, he defines sin, and he argues this is the definition from the scriptures, is that sin is making good things the ultimate thing. Making a good thing the ultimate thing. He says sin is establishing yourself by something that is good, a romance, a career, a family. And it's making that thing more central to your identity, to your sense of safety, than your relationship to God. You know, when we're growing up, especially in high school, college, young adulthood, we work so hard to develop a sense of ourself, to create our identity. In fact, one writer says that we're all born and we all grow up with this need of a kind of cosmic significance. We want to stand out even if we're not outstanding. We want to feel like our life is not drab. We're not just a cog in a wheel. We're not just slaves in the brickyards of Egypt. We want to feel like we're amounting to something in our life. And this writer says that whatever it is that gives you this sense of significance, you will deify it. You'll be drawn to it. You will serve it, and you'll become addicted to it. And like all addictions, you will deny the fact that you're really being drawn by it. You'll refuse to admit that what is really making you happy is not God, but something altogether different. You see, we are constantly forgetting who we are. We're constantly forgetting that that verse in our passage from Deuteronomy is in the past tense. You were slaves to these things. Not anymore. You were. We forget that because of Jesus, because of the resurrection, these taskmasters of ours, they've been drowned in the Red Sea. They've been drowned in the water of baptism. And so God says to us, I want you to stop. I want you to stop, and I want you to step outside of the mad rush of life, out of the rat race, and I want you to find your place before me, before the face of God. I want you to observe the Sabbath. I want you to do that so you can remember what I've done for you and to remember who you truly are, so that you don't just drift back to those forces that once enslaved you. The Sabbath, what it is, it's a day to remind us and to anchor us in our redemption. You know, Moses in our passage, he says that we are to keep the Sabbath holy. And we said, for something to be holy, it means you set it apart. So the Sabbath day is set apart. But what is it set apart for? And the answer is that this day is set apart for worship, the worship of God. This is a day unto the Lord. Moses, when he speaks to Pharaoh, he commands Pharaoh to let the people go free, release them from their bondage, he says. But he doesn't stop there. He says, let my people go so that they may worship, right? So they may rejoice and celebrate before the face of God. That's what we're supposed to do on the Sabbath, to worship and rejoice before God. Karl Barth, one of the great Christian thinkers of the last century, he says that at the center of the Sabbath is what he calls a renouncing faith. And I found this helpful, a renouncing faith. He says that when we worship, if it's going to have any type of impact on us, not just for today, but for the rest of the week, it requires a renouncing faith. Renouncing all claims that you're in control. Renouncing that you've actually pulled yourselves up from your bootstraps. Renouncing all ideas that you're the master of your fate. There's this sense of surrendering, of laying our burden down before God and reminding ourselves that we are not the God of our lives. Despite what culture tells us, we're not our own gods. Rather, we are God's children. You know, this command to keep this day and to celebrate the Sabbath every week, it's helpful to recognize that it's a gift. I mean, all God's commands are a gift. They're meant to lead us into the way of life. But this is especially true of the Sabbath. Remember what Jesus says. The Sabbath was made for us, not us for the Sabbath. It's not meant to be burdensome. It's meant to give us life. And so it's worthwhile to continually commit ourselves to this day, right? To observe it, to gather as we've done this morning, so that we can remember the Easter promise, and so that we can remember that we were once slaves, pushed and pulled and harassed by so many things. But now we are free, free to stand before God as his children, rejoicing in him. Amen.